Hi, I'm Bess Godin, and welcome to Millennial Splaining. So, I bet you're wondering, who is this bitch? Who died and made her the ultimate authority to speak for her entire generation? Well, the answer is, I'm nobody. I have no authority whatsoever. Like so many millennials, I was told to get an education. Then, I graduated into a barren and opportunity-less economy. We are the most overeducated and underemployed. The greatest minds of my generation go unheard. They are too busy serving coffee, flipping burgers, moving boxes, babysitting, and pumping gas to survive. All the while applying to better jobs that they are also overqualified for, but for which they know they'll never get an interview. And finally, at the end of a long day, we have time not to relax, but to work on our blogs and YouTube channels so we can have some modicum of expression in a world where we are told daily that we are disposable. And with each of these desperate efforts to grab hold of the national microphone, we find ourselves slipping further and further away from it because the world doesn't want to hear our problems. By corporate reinforced choice, we are a generation lost in obscurity. Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for joining me on Millennial Splaining.
Hey, hi. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have been watching you on Fred Hampton Left and just loving the ride that you guys have been on. You guys have had a meteoric rise recently. So that's really exciting. And I love, I love the things that you guys have been focusing on, solutions and, mutual aid and direct action. I mean, that's just stuff that, the pussy hats took over and we need to take it back. So I love that you guys are focusing on that. So why don't you give me a little background on you? Tell us about Straight Outta Politics. Tell us about everything you do and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So Jay, they call me Compton Jay only because that's my Twitter handle. Or CJ for short. You're here. Some Fred Hampton Left this episode. They'll call me CJ. But I started my political, I guess, journey. I was a liberal. MSNBC watching. I thought Chris Matthews and Rachel Maddow were the best thing on TV. I watched CNN. I thought Fox were just, propaganda, the only propaganda on TV. So I was, that person, but I always had my eye on the Democrats. I never really just had that something in me that just wasn't right. So when I stumbled upon Bernie Sanders a couple of years ago, his 2016 campaign, that's when I knew some of the thoughts I had. I wasn't alone, some of the things I believe. So that was probably the first big jump was 2016. And then the final thing that kind of just where I was done with electoral politics, the Democratic Party, was this final campaign in 2020. The campaign was in 2019, but it was just blatant corruption, the way mainstream media was covering him, was eye-opening to me. And that led me to seek out more knowledge and that from media sources that were not corporate owned. And then that's where everything kind of snowballed. I got on Twitter, not knowing anything political. I just joined Twitter and found this political community and latched onto it. And 16, 17, 18 months later, here we are. Now fast forward, Fred Hampton Leftist. It was originally an idea that Rome had about news, like a news channel. And it was me, Rome, and Nick. And from there, we kind of thought of people. And I know Jackie was somebody that was up first for consideration of this new project we were looking into doing. And JB was also one of the first names we had talked about. in the beginning. And then it kind of died down. The talks about it died down. And we were still doing content. Everybody's doing their own thing. And then we would have people go on to each other's show. So, you know, I brought Nick and Jackie onto my show, Free Black America Podcast, when I had that show. And then they brought me onto theirs. And one of the times we had an interview and it was so good. We were just like, man, we have to bottle this here. Like, we can't just do this episode and this it. And then, you know, I just kind of floated the idea. I think we should be called the Fred Hampton Leftist. And it was because the movie had recently come out. And I thought that we should capitalize on that name. And that's why, and that, you know, and then it just kind of went from there. So that's my political journey. That's kind of how Fred Hampton Leftist got started. I also have the Populist Voice, which is how Rome and Nick just even found me on Twitter, is because I was putting out content under my own platform called the Populist Voice, which I still do. So that's everything wrapped in a nutshell of where, you know, how I got here.
Awesome. Yeah. And I've been checking out the Populist Voice. I subscribed to you guys too. And that's where you have your New Left podcast, right?
Right. The New Left podcast, it actually started on the Populist Voice only. And then we simultaneously, you know, then we brought it over to the Fred Hampton Leftist. So now it's part of the Fred Hampton Leftist family. But we do simulcast it on the Populist Voice still. So yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. I love you guys. I mean, I you know, I love that you guys are echoing, you know, what young people want to say. You know, I feel like we, you know, the left has been so co-opted by, you know, the Clintonian dynasty, essentially, right? That, you know, it's great that it feels validating that I see a podcast even called the New Left. You know what I'm saying? Because I just, you know, in coming into this space as a new podcaster, I'm trying to find my own footing, you know, and I don't feel connected with TYT. I don't feel connected with those people. So, you know,
that's actually where the name was born out of. It was something specific going on about that. And it was just like, man, this is, I sent out a tweet. It was something like, what we're witnessing is the separation of the old left and the new left. They're diverging here. And the old left is more, you know, let's just stick with the Democrats and accept the crumbs they give us. And the new left is saying, no, that's over. We're not doing that anymore. And that's where the podcast was born out of, the idea of, we're the new left. We're not for, you know, this teaming up with Democrats and just letting them treat us awfully and never, you know, want to include any of the ideas that progressives or leftists want. So that's the new left, and that's the new left podcast, I feel.
Awesome. Yeah. I feel so betrayed by the old left. I feel so betrayed. You know, I mean, I grew up in sort of a privileged liberal bubble. I went to private school since fifth grade because my mom was a teacher there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just felt like, of course the Democrats are the good party, you know, like, of course we're doing good for the world. And like, you know, it's so fucked up. I was taught, have you ever heard of the poem "Take Up the White Man's Burden" by Rudyard? I taught that in school, right? But at the same time, I was also taught that we were doing the right thing in Afghanistan. I was also taught, you know, we were doing the right thing all over the world, right? Team America, World Police. I bought it. I bought into it. And, you know, when my life started going to the shit and I started having problems of my own, I realized what fucking tissue of lies it was. And especially since a lot of my friends still seem to buy it, you know, like they hadn't been through the stuff that I went through and I was going like down, and then they started judging me. Right. And I'm, because they taught us to do that. They taught us to blame the poor for being poor.
they're only doing what they're conditioned to do. And the thing, the sad part is, some of us who used to be liberals used to be doing that to other people. Like I can say to for myself, there was, you know, moving more left, becoming more left, or understanding that my views were actually left. Actually, for me, Nick says this all the time, made him a better person, makes me a better person. I understand if I'm now out in a line at Walmart that's not the cashier's fault. That's the system's fault that's putting that cashier out to work by itself because they're trying to save money on labor, so they don't have enough cashiers out here, and so on and so on. So, you know, being involved in this type of politics and, you know, just talking about it all the time has made me a better just everyday person with just people. So that's one side effect, I guess you can say, of this leftist movement.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what it's like to work behind the counter. And that's like, to me, like young people, I feel like most of us know, because in 2008, when, you know, the economy crashed, most of the jobs that were built back were retail and service jobs. Yeah. And that's what we got, right? I had a retail career up until 2015. And that was when I got my first office job as a secretary. I have a master's education. Wow. So, you know, this is, you know, something right. that is.
But they told you, and they told all of us, just get a degree and you will be one of us. You will be making money. Jobs yep. will be out the wazoo for you.
Right?
What happened?
Right?
It's like, it's so, but these types of things happening, like the pandemic and these stories, is what's waking people up. Like this, like you're saying, somebody like your history, what woke you up? Like everything I thought, that was all just make-believe. It's really the land of make-believe. It really is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, because on its face, right? Like they teach you, you know, if you just work hard enough, like that's the American lie dream, right? If you just work hard enough, you can, you know, upwardly mobilize and be rich. And obviously that implies that if you're poor, you're lazy, right? And it doesn't acknowledge the fact that to have rich people, you have to have poor people.
Right.
Where is the wealth coming from? Hello, you know?
Right, exactly. Just think about that. In order for you to be rich or people to be rich, it has to come from somewhere. It's not like people are just poor and the rich people are extracting money from somewhere other than poor people. Like that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. You're extracting it from somewhere or you're suppressing it from going to those people. Either way, like in a living wage, you're suppressing, you know, you're suppressing economic stability by not letting people live off of one job. Just think of that. I put up a tweet not too long ago, and it said it was something done by the National Low Income Housing Authority or something like that. And they basically said it takes 2.5 full-time jobs for a Californian or a New Yorkian to even support, to have a modest two-bedroom apartment in that city. So in California, I have to work 2.5 full-time jobs. That's because wages have been suppressed for decades. And now that we're asking to increase to a livable wage, the gap has been so pressed so long, it's gonna require a huge jump. So we're not talking $1, $2, it's gonna require like a $10 jump, a $15 jump, because it's been suppressed for so long.
3 million percent. I'm always telling people, like, let's stop even saying $15 minimum wage. Right. Let's just say 25. That's not good enough either, but at least it's, you know, it's a start.
Higher. Yeah. You gotta start higher.
Yeah. Cause that's what drives me nuts. Why do leftists feel like they have to bargain themselves down before they even get to the table? Like, that's what drives me nuts. Like, and that's the reason that we have no power, is because we come to the table going, well, we've thought about it and we're willing to bargain ourselves down because we really wanted this, but what do you think? And then we get bargained down even more to nothing, right? And
it's because you don't, they don't have a belief in their power, really.
Yes.
You don't have a belief, a real belief in your power. That's why you're already saying, you know, but I'll take these crumbs. I want this, supposedly, but I'll take these crumbs. Like, that never works. If you had a strong sense or a belief in what you're doing and in your stance, you would just say, take it or leave it. This is, you know, this is what it is. Yeah. Take it or leave it.
Right. Right. And I think that, you know, you guys are 3,000,000% right that the way that we get there is by creating our own structures, creating mutual aid. So let's talk a little bit about the General Strike Summit that you're planning, because I just saw your interview about that. And I'm so intrigued and I'm so excited because everybody's been trying to get a general strike going. I know the October 15th thing is happening. I have an interview coming up with one of those organizers. So, you know, it's definitely something that a lot of people want, right? But nobody knows how to make happen. And so that I'm really excited that you're taking a whole weekend to really discuss these issues and start planning. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
That is actually what you just described is how the idea came about. It's like, I get the sense that there is strong energy amongst people like you and I, other Fred Hampton leftists, other friends, for a general strike literally now. Like, people where I can say, hey, in an hour, we're gonna be in the streets, and they'll be like, I'll be there. Those people have to understand we need more than those people that are passionate in order for this to be successful. So that means, like, yeah, we're anxious, but we have to put that on hold in order to get more people on the bandwagon. Like, that's what the General Strike Summit is that, and we endorse the October 15th strike where we're abstaining from participating economically. So, you know, we're all for that, but we want to talk about how to do that one day thing and prolong it. Like, how to make it a prolonged, sustained general strike, which is really how the way you're really going to get the ruling class, the government, to really bow to demands or meet your demands. So the General Strike Summit is a 3-day live stream event. Fred Hampton Leftist will be hosting the event. And, you know, each day, you know, it is 10 to 12 hours of content. So on Friday, you know, 10 to 10 or something like that, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll be having different guests, different activists, different programs, panels, where we're discussing different topics, answering different questions and concerns around how to build a successful general strike. So I want to be clear, the summit, we're not planning a general strike, is to talk about how to do that, because there are varying ideas. So we kind of want to just talk about it, put it out on the table and say, okay, what about unions? How do we get union participation? There's a lot of people that are hesitant who will be on board, but they're not really secure on how are they going to feed their families. We need to talk about that. So we need to have a panel discussion. What do we do about that? That leads us to mutual aid. I'm sorry, my hamster got out of his cage and I think I just heard it. That's why I stopped right there. panels for mutual aid, how do we build a local mutual aid structure? How do we, you know, organize? How are we gonna communicate nationwide, regionally? Answering all these questions, because those things are the seeds, are the ingredients to even begin a general strike. Like, for example, like the demands. For the demands, we need union participation so we can get their input on demands. We can't just say, hey, these are demands that we came up with. Are you guys on board? That's not how we're gonna build a consensus. People are gonna want to have their ideals included in it. So that's why first step is educating, bringing people on, which is the General Strike Summit.
Absolutely. That's so exciting. And I, you know, I would love to help out in any way that I can. I also work with a group called United Left, and we essentially try to like bring together organizations and organizers to do mass movements like that. And we particularly interested in, you know, helping with PR and media and boosting on social media specifically. So yeah, we'll talk later about that, but we'd love to help you. I'm sure that, you know, we can make something awesome happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have said it's going to be, or we want it to be, a really huge event on like on the level of maybe larger of the Medicare for All March. We have some big name invitees that we want to come on the show, you know, friends of Fred Hampton Leftist. You've seen them on the Fred Hampton Leftist Network. So we're talking like Jimmy Dore, Brianna Joy Gray. We're going to invite Susan Sarandon. We're talking Justin Jackson. We're talking Margaret Kimberly from the Black Agenda Report, Ryan Knight. I mean, just on and on. Awkward. Just on and on and on. Awesome. Anyone you could name on as a leftist that you believe that person. Oh, I don't want to forget the Convo Couch. I want to forget Hardlines Media.
Yes.
Franco Analysis, like Nico. So it's just everybody is going to be invited, and we hope that they're able to participate and join and have their own hour to discuss and contribute to this live stream event.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. I really love the idea of, you know, like, and this was an idea that I wanted to make happen for a long time, but I never really, you know, had connections enough to do it. You know, like, I would love to see, you know, essentially like, you know, a general strike that is focused on literally helping people, right? Like if, you know, I love the idea of protests and I love the idea of marching, but wouldn't it be awesome if we instead like had a clothing drive and like had a food drive? And we're, you know, that was our event. You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny you say that in that way. And I can't remember who I was talking to, but we were talking about what are the pillars of a general strike? Meaning what are, like, if the general strike is a chair, what is one of the legs? What are the legs? And we say union participation, of course, was, mm-hmm. was one of the legs. But one of the legs was coming from a place of love. Like, the general strike has to be a mutual aid, community helping effort.
Yes. And
that's the core. And then the general strike is around it.
Yes.
Striking, the economic part is around it. So that's actually what we want to do. That's one of the things we were talking about. I can't remember who I was talking to about that. But yeah, we were talking about the legs of a general strike, and that's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I might have seen it on the show you were just talking about it on. So if
maybe that was it. I can't remember. I've talked about it a couple of times, so I can't remember which show it was.
That's,
but yeah.
That's cool. It was I think it was with Liv and
I asked them that. Yeah, the new Left podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't an official episode of that. It was
Oh, they were on my other show too.
Politics show. Yeah.
Yeah, they were on my Strata Politics show. That's true. On the same day. Yeah, that's true. Liv was on two times that day.
Anyway.
Yeah. She's awesome too. Liv is awesome. And she's part of the Green Party in her state. She's like an official member of the Green, you know, the officers in the
I just found out about it. I just followed her and she followed me back. I'm really excited. She's super awesome. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I would love to see, you know, a lot more action centered around those kinds of things, because, you know, I like, you know, you see people say a lot of stuff online about, you know, like arm the poor, eat the rich, right? You know, and like, well, like, we should arm the poor with food. We should arm the poor with blankets. Like, this is stuff we should be doing anyway. And if you want those people to show up to your actions, why not make it attractive for them, right? I also think, you know, I talked to Laura Fielding from the Red Berets, and I myself am a crafter, and I love the idea of craftivism. I love the small artists, and I, you know the struggle of what it's like to compete against, you know, like factories of underpaid workers in China and stuff like that. I mean, that's essentially the same market that we're entering, right? Novelties. So I would love to see, you know, some kind of a mass event where, you know, all of these things are brought together. Like, you know, when you have a march or something, you want to bring musicians out, you want to bring speakers mm-hmm. and everything. And I want to see artists. I want to see artists as well. And I think it would be really awesome if, you know, we could get, you know, uplift those artists in some way, you know, give them some kind of a return for coming out mm-hmm. and offering their art, maybe, you know, at a discounted price or free to some mm-hmm. people, you know, like, or auctioning, you know, something like, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
I would be totally down for some sort of like support leftist artists, and maybe some sort of, I don't know what official name when you have an event and then, you know, painters come out and show their work, and, you know, different artists and different artists come out and show their, if you're an artist that work with your hand to create different sort of, you know, necklaces and jewelry like that, just have them mm-hmm. an event where everybody kind of comes out and it's known, like, hey, these are leftist artists, let's all support leftist artwork.
Yeah, I mean, it could even just be like an exhibition, like, no, nothing is sold.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
all these ideas, I think this is why the General Strike Summit is so important. It feels like there's so many great ideas, but people aren't talking about them together. And that's what I hope the General Strike results in. That power of people understanding, look, oh, that's a great idea. If we pair it with that idea and this idea, wow, never thought of that. They understand the power in collectivism. I think I'm hoping that that's one of the results of this.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, I want to do everything I can to make it work out and help you guys. So yeah, let's be in touch about that for sure. Is there anything else that you wanted to specifically talk about? I mean, I could go on forever about.
I do want to kind of, you know, shout out the new leftist podcast a little more. I recently put out tweet asking for people, and I got getting a lot of great feedback. So it looks like we're going to have to probably develop another show. It's going to be too many people for that. So got to come up with another name that kind of means the same thing as the new left, but it's different. You know what I mean? So yeah. If we can get help with that. If you know any names, shoot them out. You know, people that might be interested. panels. So just excited. I'm really excited about that, about bringing more voices to the Fred Hampton leftist platform and the Populist Voice. But some of the shows may be on there. We might use the Populist Voice to more groom people until they feel like, okay, I'm ready for the big leagues, and then we'll put you know, because some people get anxious when they know, hey, I got, you know, 500 people, 1,000 people that's going to be watching this, so they get a little anxious, so we understand. So but okay. Yeah, that's one thing I do want to shout out before we're done here, is that if you're interested, Listen, the way we're going to break this propaganda, break down the duopoly, is breaking down propaganda. And that's educating people. And that's doing these things, having these conversations. That's it. That's how, because we don't have mainstream media. We don't have networks. We have to go on social media platforms and create and talk about things and record it and put it out and hope that other people view it. And with them suppressing us, that's why we need everybody doing shows and podcasts. Because if you do one and Bill does one and Sheila does one, and yeah, they're suppressing you, but you're still reaching 5,000 people. That's 5,000 more people that wasn't being reached. And that may be the way we have to do it. We may have just have a lot of different shows and everybody's just reaching about 50,000 people, 20,000 right? people. And that might be the way we have to do this, because they are literally suppressing us.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Because, you know, it's, you know, we don't need to think about grassroots movements just being on the ground, right? We don't need to think about just door knocking. There's a lot of people that are doing really real good activism on Twitter, you know? And I mean, I found out about literally everything. I got radicalized because of Twitter and the people I met there. You know, so absolutely, absolutely. Everybody needs to speak out about what they believe, and we need to create a stronger network. You know, like that's one of the things that we wanted to do at United Left, actually, is that we wanted to be able to, you know, like have, you know, united hashtag movements. We wanted to be able to, you know, be able to spread messages and get, you know, uplift videos and stuff. You know, I talk a lot to Indie Left News, and I think the work that they're doing over there is amazing. So I think all of this hopefully is culminating, right? Like hopefully within a year or two, like I think we can start really doing some mass stuff that's gonna get really exciting.
That's my hopes. Now, when the left is always talking about general strikes, and my answer is always, guys, I understand you're ready, but we're not there yet. We're just simply not there. And I talk about general strike all the time because we need to talk about it in order for people to talk about it. We have to talk about it more and more. So almost every day I'm mentioning something about, you know, general striking or wanting to do one. So it's very important that we keep the dialogue going. It's very important we do things like the general strike summit. And it's very important that we just keep moving forward. But building coalitions like what you were just describing is very important. And I'm hoping out of this general strike summit, that is one of the great things that come out of it, is that like we know of other leftist organizations. We see each other, we like each other, but we don't really work together. You get what I mean? And that's what we need to do in a general strike, not the summit, but a general strike would definitely bring lots of different people together. So let's hope.
Let's hope at
the beginning. Oh, this is what I wanted to say.
Please.
I've always thought that a general strike needs to be strategically done at a time that puts the most leverage on the duopoly. And I always thought that an election or an election cycle is it. So maybe starting this general strike summit that gets the conversation going, and we can get some sort of real general strike planned, scheduled, right around the election, right around the campaigning, not the election, but the campaigning. Because that's when they're going to say, hey, we're willing to do this, we're willing to do that. And then if they see this mass movement of American workers saying, planning, like, oh, what? They're planning this general strike in all these major cities, and we're seeing this movement? Like, no way. And they're going to start saying, oh, Medicare for all. We're seeing presidential candidates other than Bernie Sanders running on Medicare for all and actually getting a nomination. Like this type of movement could do that. Just the talk of it, just the planning of it. If they're seeing union participation, for example, that this union is joining, that union is joining, what does that do to the ruling class? So yeah, we have a lot of work to do, and a general strike summit is coming up And I hope that you're able to participate in others.
Yes, I'd love to. And absolutely. And I, you know, I encourage, like, I understand that, you know, it's, you know, yes, we do want to have a general strike now, 5 minutes from now, every day, all the time. And I know that the structure isn't there for it. I definitely understand that as well. But, you know, I also encourage people to just plan small actions, local actions, you know, every day. I mean, you know, the more action, the more talk, the more energy that we have around this, like, you know, I don't need to get, you know, manifesting, you know, like woo-woo about it. But seriously, like, you know, like the more that we create a culture around the idea of a general strike, and the more that we create, you know, sub-actions, right, that relate to those things, like the more that it becomes a movement and not just a day, right?
That's all of what I'm basically
right
say. Like, people have been conditioned into the mindset that they're in. So we're not going to just jump into a general strike. It's going to take educating people and teaching them and breaking down the propaganda. And this is the first step. So
absolutely. I want
to thank you, though.
Yes.
For having me on, because I think this is the fourth show where I'm having the opportunity to talk about the general strike. And every time I talk about it, I get people DMing me, oh, that's a good idea. And that's what's making me more and more want to push this idea of doing this general strike summit. So I want to thank you for having me on to talk about this.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you so much. I know you need to get going. So you want to give me a, where can I find you, speech?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, Compton Made Me, just like it sounds. Follow, of course, on Twitter also, Fred Hampton Leftist, but it's, our Twitter handle is just Fred Hampton Left. And then on Instagram, Fred Hampton Leftist, the full name, same thing on TikTok. Rome has our TikTok account blowing up. Like, he's been putting out videos, and I think we hit over 5,000 subscribers in like 2 or 3 weeks. So that's going well. And then you can also find me on the Populist Voice on YouTube. Just Google Populist Voice. You'll see the channel and see a bunch of other podcasts, episodes, different topics you can talk about. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I hope we can do it again soon. This has been a great conversation.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me again. And I will definitely be back.
Great. Thank you so much.